We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no, there's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to an emergency episode of the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Not the happy kind. These are, you know,
when are the emergency episodes the happy kind? Unless there's some a signing.
Well, DJ LeMahieu was happy. You know, in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, when they walk into the hotel room and they go, "Are those happy tissues or sad tissues?" Is this a happy emergency podcast or a sad emergency podcast? I was having a nice little Saturday.
So was I.
You were at baseball practice. I was at the tile store. Boom, get the notification. Luke Voit, knee surgery. Jay Bruce added to the roster. Okay, I guess this is Yankees baseball.
My gut was preaching to me, saying something was weird here. Something was weird. Why is this 48-hour thing being triggered? And sure as shit, there was obviously they were trying to see what the evaluation was going to be and what the decision was going to be with Voit. And clearly they're saying, hey, guess what? We got Jay Bruce still here. He could play first base. If we clean this up right now, we can get Voit back fully healthy, you know, by June, sets the team up long term. Not to say, look, I told you before this season started, which it hasn't yet, but I'm not getting down on the dumps on the injuries yet. I'm not doing it on the beginning. And when you look at this injury,
it's too many.
Yeah. And when you look at this injury, it's a meniscus tear of the knee, which is like, this is a cleanup. A lot of times if you have a sore knee, all of us every day, Joe and Jane, if you have a sore knee, you might have a tear in your knee. That's a slight tear. That's sometimes what a strain is. So, you know, the word tear is a bit misleading, I think, but what it is a cleanup. And they have a guy that was ready to go, which they would have lost anyway. So they're like, okay, let's just do it now. That's the way I'm reading it.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the thing that you think I'm going to do, where I bash the Yankees for
gonna do what everybody
mishandling
thinks I'm gonna do.
An injury.
Freak
or
out.
I mean, it's just, are the Yankees just the most cursed team in baseball history when it comes to injuries? Maybe. Maybe that this iteration of the Yankees, like this team with Judge and Stanton and Glaber and Voit and like this iteration of the Yankees, maybe they're just cursed and they're never going to be healthy. Maybe you just got to reset. You talk about resetting expectations all the time. I don't know. It's just,
I'm done trying to imagine what this team is going to look like when fully healthy, because are they ever going to be fully healthy?
Yeah, it's almost a moot conversation. When it happens, we can look back and say, that was nice. That was nice. Watching that team play fully healthy, if it happens, we'll say that was nice and that was fun to watch and they were good. That's what will happen if that happens. So, we'll drink a beer at that time and hopefully celebrate a championship, because that's what's going to be needed. They're going to need to be healthy for that to be the case. And I think that's part of this decision. You're looking at weighing short-term production for potential long-term lingering injury. And what's the most important thing, bar none, and that's being healthy going into the playoff run, right? Getting through the season, being in a position where you're in the playoffs and being healthy for that run so that you have the best opportunity. And this might be, setting up for putting the Yankees in the best position. So, I think they had an opportunity and they took it with Bruce.
Last year, Voit played through the foot stuff all season. It was a short season, so he could kind of just say, I got to get through this. The other guys are on the shelf. Judge was hurt. Stanton was hurt. LeMahieu was banged up for a little while. So Luke Voit was legitimately like the only steady producer in the lineup that was in the everyday lineup. So he battled through the foot stuff. And we kind of said, if that was a 162 season, they probably don't let him battle through the foot stuff.
Probably not.
So kind of like this with the knee. And I know he does need surgery. So it's not like to say you could just battle through it. Like, you can't battle through a meniscus tear because you're just going to make it worse. Like,
well, you might not make it worse. It might just stay, but I mean, activity every day as a Major League Baseball player, you're probably going to make it worse. And it's probably not going to go away depending on the tear, I would assume, the grade of the tear. But yeah, I mean, for you and me, like, if we rest that thing for a while, it'll happen with me.
I tore my meniscus.
Scar tissue will happen and it'll heal, probably not the best way, but we'll deal with it. And that's what's happened. That's why I can't play racquetball or any of that stuff, because my elbow's a disaster right now because it's healed in the wrong way.
I tore my meniscus my junior year in high school. Same thing that Voit said happened. Your knee fills up with fluid. Mm-hmm. It's the size of a softball.
Yep.
You can't bend it. And I did not have surgery. They drained some fluid out of my knee. That's all they did. They said, if you continue to play catcher in high school baseball, you're going to need surgery. And I was like, I'm not going to go to college and play catcher baseball. Like, I don't give a crap. I'm just going to stop playing baseball. I'm going to heal this thing.
Yeah.
And it's been fine ever since.
Right.
So I was on crutches for like maybe 6-8 weeks, I think, my junior year of high school.
Yeah. And technology has advanced. They will give him everything they need to, they will probably do the smallest amount of interference within that knee as possible to get this thing cleaned up. So, they're saying June is, well before June, no, they keep saying like June is a...
May. So that's a May return, which, the one thing I will do that you think I'm going to do, why even go there? Why say that?
Well, they're giving estimated time frames. It's because you could give an estimated time frame based on any injury.
Well before June.
Whatever.
Well before
it's
June.
Your job,
well
not, it's your job.
Well before June.
Your job not to freak out and take it with as gospel.
I have a question. What does well before June mean? What is an acceptable date for well before June? Is that May 15th?
No, well before June, which means he's playing well before June. I don't care.
What's the date?
Technically, if you get in these games before
May 31st,
if you're in there before Memorial Day, well before June.
Okay, before Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Which is the, I don't know what the date is.
It could be the last
May 31st.
Day. It could be.
Okay, I'll give you that. Well before, if he gets in the starting lineup before Memorial Day, I will say that is well before June. If it's after Memorial Day, it's not well before June.
And if not, if it's a weekend, good, fine. He's back in
June. I don't really care whether he comes back May 15th, May 22nd, June 9th. Like, who cares?
Maybe we should keep a board. We should have Bob do this. We should have Bob keep a board of all of the injury recovery projections if this starts becoming a thing. Let's say three injuries.
You know who does this already?
Who?
Neil Keefe.
Oh, of course he does. Does he hold the marker of when they say they will be back?
Yeah, every time that someone gets injured, he tweets out his article where he continues to update the injury timelines, what was said, because he's a psychopath.
Beautiful. All right, fine.
So he goes into like press conferences.
We'll just pull up Neil's article then, and we will refer to that thing then if it's being tracked already. Thank you, Neil. So this is, at the end of the day, this is probably the best case scenario if you're looking at what the situation is, because Bruce is still here. If this happened 2 days after Bruce was released, And then he went to another team.
Well, they told him, I mean, like you were sniffing around. We were sniffing around. What's going
something
on here
was
by
up,
the 48
yes.
hours? It was because of this, because yes. they knew they were.
Luke they had Voigt. A decision to be made.
So, okay, I'm going to play Neil for a second. I'm going to do a little injury timeline on what happened with Luke Voigt's knee. An article was written on NJ.com. I just read it before we got on to record on March 10th that Luke Voigt was dealing with knee soreness. Okay. It's been kind of flying under the radar because he hasn't really missed any time. So it has just gone on.
It's spring training. Really everybody's nicked up. Yeah.
This past Tuesday, he did not start. He was supposed to start at DH. He didn't start. He got scratched. Uh-huh. He got scratched again on Thursday. So then it's like, okay, now this might be serious. And coincidentally, Thursday was March 25th, the Jay Bruce deadline. So they probably said, listen, you can opt out right now and just go try and find a team that'll pick you up, or you can give us 48 hours to assess what's going on with Luke Voigt because we might need you to start opening day at first base.
So I think it was even more extended than that, probably. I think what they did is they probably stress test Voigt's knee even more this week, and they identified this was the week that they had on the calendar the whole time. They knew what Bruce was, the 25th date was up. They when did you say the NJ.com? Let's go full conspiracy
10th.
Here.
It was the 10th.
Okay. So around that time, somewhere around there, probably a little bit before.
2 weeks ago.
Probably a little bit before it, though. They're monitoring, right? They're seeing how it feels when he plays, what it looks like the next day, if there's anything that they need to drain. They're evaluating this whole thing. The week of Jay Bruce being either released or not, or put on the 40, they're like, okay, this is the week we have to make this decision. It has to be done. We stress test. We do what we will. We're not going to put him in a game. We're going to, you know, figure this out. We're going to rest and see what the knee does after a couple of days of rest as well. Didn't like what they saw. Evaluating the trade, Bruce gave them the extra time because they just wanted to see whether they were going under the knife or not
evaluating
the
trade?
Under the knife. I meant
what do you mean evaluating the trade?
Evaluated the injury. Sorry, I said trade.
Oh.
And yeah, so I think this was all calculated, and Bruce was definitely like, yeah, okay, I'll give you the 48 hours. No problem. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. And that was his best chance at making the Yankees was an injury, which we said, it's like, well, maybe they could be holding out for an injury. And what we meant was
you,
not
what
this.
You meant, what you meant was if an injury happened like yesterday, today, somebody blew out their knee.
Right, right. But I guess we didn't say that they're already evaluating someone who's injured.
Correct.
We didn't know that.
That is correct.
But it makes sense now. And we were also talking about if they were trying to shop Mike Tauchman, that obviously...
That was, yeah. I mean, because we didn't know about the injury, that reports. Seemed like a more practical thing.
There are reports that Tauchman was being shopped, but they added him officially to the opening day roster. Boone announced that today as well. And I mean, that makes sense because they released Derek Dietrich. They released Chirinos,
which
they optioned Devi Garcia to AAA, so alternate site until AAA gets going.
Nothing new here, right? We all expected this. This was the
so we've got our final roster
here. Yeah,
we've got our final roster. The bench is Higgy, Gardner, Jay Bruce, Mike Tauchman, and
Tyler Wade. Everybody's upset. That's fine.
That's five bench spots actually. Oh, because that's not five bench spots because technically, Bruce is not a bench guy.
Right.
He's a starter.
So it's interesting because now for the first 2 months of the season, we got Jay Bruce as the primary first baseman, right?
Well, I don't know if it'll even last 2 months because if he sucks.
Theoretically,
and
there's...
He can't, and he,
okay, we have a different guy at the first base for the first 2 months, okay? So whether it's Bruce, and I just tweeted this out, I'm like, there's an opportunity now for Jay Bruce to be exposed at first base because of this extra playing time. The Yankees probably could have hidden that. Wouldn't have been as big of a deal if he was just coming off for periodic time at first, maybe a corner outfield spot occasionally. Wouldn't have been such an eyesore. But now he's going to be playing a lot more over there. I got to believe that DJ LeMay, he was going to be sliding over to first base. So we're going to see we're going to see Tyler Wade more. He's going to get more of an opportunity now as well to get more at bats to drive everybody insane or to completely prove them wrong. Probably drive them insane though, because that's not what he's good at. And
yeah, late game defensive shifts are going to be DJ goes to first and Tyler Wade goes to second.
Right. But we're also going to see some days start that way, most likely. Wade's going to be coming over playing for short.
If
Bruce is not hitting, I would not be surprised if we see Mike Ford sooner than later also.
Yeah, I mean, with this roster, with him making the roster, he's due to make $1.5 million. I know that's it's prorated depending on how long he's on, but actually, no, isn't it? They owe him that money no matter what, unless someone picks up his money, which won't happen.
Right.
So they're going to give him a fair shake because they're paying him $1.5 million.
True. That's, yeah, so they, again, I don't think it's...
I mean, if he's Chris Carter bad, you can't put up with it.
Well, if he hits, you can.
Well, I'm talking Chris Carter bad all around, defensively.
Chris Carter's the home run king of the National League. What are you talking about?
But he wasn't with the Yankees. I think he closed his eyes and somehow hit 6 home runs with the Yankees.
That's amazing. That's an amazing thing to do. If you look at that, if you just take those at-bats in an isolated situation, you're like, how in the world did this guy do it? He's the best baseball player that's ever lived. He can hit home runs with his eyes closed. You don't see anything else. You just see that. What if history goes back at Chris Carter and we only remember the eyes closed home runs? Amazing.
It is. It kind of gives me, it makes me rethink if I can get a hit off a major league pitcher.
You can't get a hit off the major league pitcher.
Well, if I close my eyes and get lucky,
he's got
why
muscle
not?
Memory that goes into that spot. And he's a massive human being who knows how to do that, at least the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting. We're going to see now, definitely going to see more Tyler Wade. Definitely going to see a bad first baseman. There's no doubt. More often.
Well, how much worse is Jay Bruce defensively at first base than Lou Foyt? I don't know.
I mean,
a little bit worse. We don't know. We don't know is the answer, but it can't be.
It was also hard to evaluate anything and hard for Voit to even improve with the foot stuff last year. So.
Yeah, but he's just not a nimble guy.
Well, like, most first basemen aren't. They're usually lumbering guys. That's okay. Do you want to have a bigger conversation
about Luke Voit though? Because now this is an injury basically every season. He was injured with the core in 2019. He had foot stuff last year. It didn't affect his performance, but he had foot stuff and now he's got a knee. I mean, is he just another one of these big guys that's just never going to, he's always going to be injured. You're always going to be dealing with something.
Possibly. I think that he also is the guy that probably would have tried to play through it as well, but they're like, don't need to right now. Let's be smart. We know what you are as a healthy major league hitter. Let's get the best of you out there as long as we possibly can. Then 75% of you and see what happens.
You know what this also means? I guess they're not going to be able to trade him for Freddie Freeman.
That is true. Your pipe dream your window has closed.
Out the window now. We'll never know. We'll never know if that trade was really going to happen.
The timing of your trade is very interesting though. Your trade that came out of absolutely nowhere. And then all of a sudden now Luke Voit's out for a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you have something to do with this. This feels like bad juju from you, to be honest.
But we just went through the timeline and his knee has been hurting him since March 10th.
How could you possibly? It makes your trade look even worse. they're getting an injured guy who has a bad knee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is obviously we're not saying season over or anything stupid like that because he will be back. But it's another blow. I mean, that means now Luke Voit, Justin Wilson probably on the shelf to at least start the season a week or two.
Britain
probably gonna miss. Britain, obviously. It's I mean, the list is growing. Yet again, the list is growing.
If he doesn't get back, I think there's a lot of implications, though, if he's not on schedule and they're, you know, the surgery, it should be a relatively minor surgery, should be pretty routine, I would think. And so all things point to him coming back with no issues. But that being said, if he doesn't, then there's a really, really big hole in the infield because Jay Bruce can't he can't be the everyday first baseman.
Luke Voit was going to be the everyday first baseman batting fifth. That was most likely going to be his spot, right?
The only thing that could help this situation is a Mike Ford redemption. So maybe I should get back in my bold predictions because last year didn't count. Ooh. Last year did not count, and he realized that. He's like, last year didn't count. He last time I checked in the box score today, he was 3 for 3 as well. He's like, I got a window of opportunity right now. I'm about to hit. Don't worry. Like the box score is about to get filled up with some Mike Ford girth. So wouldn't surprise me.
Nick Ford girth. Jay Bruce better watch out for a metal pipe to the Achilles from courtesy of Mike Ford as he's walking around for the last few days of spring training.
He's a Jersey guy.
Yeah. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, but you're right. Mike Ford will be the guy. If Bruce is a disaster, Mike Ford will be the guy that gets called up. I guess they weighed the options of just putting in Mike Ford for his minimum salary versus 1.5 mil for Jay Bruce.
We given Mike Tauchman a glove yet?
I don't know. I would like, at this point you have to, right?
Somebody's gonna need a glove. When's Miggy coming back?
Oh God.
I mean, there's windows opening here. This opens up a windows. This gives some Wally Pep-esque opportunity.
Well, our last update on Miggy from Boone was he's not anywhere close to seeing game action.
I mean, so he's not even putting a well before June. That could mean he'd be back tomorrow. Right? If all things are equal, that he could be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well before June, could be May 31st. Not seeing baseball action for a very long time, could be 2 days from now.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? We've all gone through a lot over the past year plus with COVID. Well, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in your area, and it's available worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living happier today. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily to see for yourself. Visit betterhelp.com/bronx21. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of experienced professionals. We have a great special offer for our listeners. You can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/bronx21. One more time, betterhelp.com/bronx21.
Anything else you want to talk about, Voit, or do you want to get to some out of left field? We're going to do two out of left fields in a row.
And that out is Sanchez destroys that to left field.
There it goes. Deep to left. Really deep.
In the air to left field. Back at the track at the wall. We are tied.
I pissed on a public building.
Yeah. So this is a big day for the Reinen family, actually. Mark it down. March 27th. Kemp Scott Reinen makes his baseball debut on the T-ball field. Scouts are early talk in the scouts are.
Oh yeah, were they out there?
A young DJ LeMahieu is what I've heard. First ball in play goes to Kemp at second base.
Oh man,
fields it cleanly. Doesn't know where to throw the ball. I'm out there. Kemp, throw it to first base.
You got to have the field awareness, Kemp.
Yeah. Throws it to first base. The girl playing first base was not close to looking for the ball. this entire T-ball thing is a complete disaster. Let's just get
how many I've seen this happen. So when I used to live in Manhattan, we used to walk around Riverside Park, and there's some fields there, and they used to play T-ball there.
Yeah.
When I say there was no less than 107 kids playing a T-ball game, I'm not exaggerating. It was 107 kids playing a T-ball game. Every inch of the field had a kid manning
position. Looking at it. I don't know if you were looking at it the correct way, because they may have done this. What they do at the fields where Kemp was playing is they section off one normal size field to like four fields. So there's four games going on in one baseball field.
This was a small area, so it was literally just one field.
Yeah.
It's just with 100 kids out there.
Just go out there, and if a ball comes at you, knock it down, maybe.
Yeah.
Don't get killed.
I mean, half the kids are sitting down. just like not.
I'm my primary focus out there, because I got roped into to coaching. I walked into the season like not coaching.
I'm sure you didn't insert yourself.
No. Let me tell you what happened here. I felt badly. The guy was out there by himself. First practice, out there by himself, herding cats. I'm like, wow, this is what I expected, but maybe worse than I expected as far as like what actually happens out there. I felt bad. So I was like, look, I'll help. You know, what do I have to do? Like put my name on the, you know, thing, make sure I'm not a pedophile, and you got to get like all the things in the background, make sure you're good. And then you can go out there. So I did that, went to help out. All of a sudden I have a hat and a freaking shirt and I'm coaching.
You've got the full getup. Yeah.
So
you're the Rockies.
We're the Rockies. That's where the DJ LeMahieu comps are coming from.
Nice.
But Rockies, which I figured, which is good, right? It's like a neutral.
Who cares?
Yeah. They said, I was like, don't be the Red Sox. It's like, it's all the,
there's really, I mean, one of the teams that you're not going to, you're going to
really, the Red Sox is the only one I wouldn't want. I don't care about the other ones. I really don't.
Tampa,
whatever. Nobody, I don't even think they have Tampa in these leagues. Come on.
Yeah. Astros. They shouldn't be giving out any Astros.
I don't think so. Usually in Little League. Yeah. I haven't seen many Astros, to be honest. I don't think that's happening. I don't even remember whose team we were playing today. I wasn't even looking at that. But yeah, it was all around. It was interesting. I got roped in, and yeah, now I'm basically doing a lot of things because the coach's kid doesn't play. Like, he runs away. He doesn't want to play. He has not had an at-bat. He has not done anything in practice because he runs away every time and just sits somewhere else. So therefore, goes and I am coaching by myself. Like, what is going on here?
Oh, because the main
dude
coach
is going with his kid. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
So what does coach? Because like you said, it's herding cats. You're not coaching baseball. You're basically babysitting.
I'm directing. I'm getting kids in the positions, trying to teach them the positions based on what the bag is, essentially. So
okay,
and then you know the whole baseball ready. Half the time they hear me. You know, half of that time they do anything remotely close to it. And then by the end of the game, we had the majority of the balls were going towards second base. So I started sliding kids around to get some action. By the end of the game.
Why?
T-ball, I don't know, because they don't really, you know, they're you can't get extension with these kids. They're hitting the ball, so everything goes down first base. That's just what happens. The bats are heavy. Extension. Yeah, you can't teach like real things. Not yet. Some basics, but whatever. It's herding cats, man. It's babysitting. It is babysitting.
That's so what I said.
Yeah. But it was fun. It was fun seeing them out there. They were having fun. Basically, the name of the game is have fun, you know, cheer a lot, you know, make sure you, a lot of positive reinforcement, make sure they have fun out there. So they want to come back. That's my philosophy out there. And then if you teach them a couple little things and they pick it up through repetition, then great. But yeah, have fun. That's the big thing.
Well, second base, like when we were growing up, second base wasn't really a glamorous position, but I feel like second base now, DJ LeMahieu has established second base as a primary position. And I mean, I guess you could date that back to Robinson Cano and stuff 10, 15 years ago, but
yeah,
90s, it was shortstop. It was
Steve
center
Sachs,
field.
Steve Sachs, baby. Willie Randolph before that. Come on.
Yeah. Well, we're not all that old, Scott.
I mean, I did not watch Willie Randolph play. I did watch Steve Sachs play. But Willie Randolph just gets disrespected.
You were 8 years old. Over, you were 8 years over, old when Willie over. Randolph was on the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't remember being 8 years old.
I remember being 8 years old watching the Yankees. That was 1996 when they won the World Series.
Well, something big happened for you then, so it stood out. And I'm sure you don't. I wonder if you actually remember it, or you just remember the memories of you and your father talking about it. And the fact that you've seen it a billion times.
I know you are probably right, because I think a lot of people make mistakes about memories. They're like, oh, I remember this happening when I was 3 years old. It's like, no, you don't. Like, your parents told you about it a million times, so you think you remember it. But I truly do believe I have visual memory. I was in my sleeping bag on the living room floor the night the Yankees won the 1996 World Series, because it was late at night. And I do have a picture in my mind of that moment when Hayes caught the ball and my dad, like, being excited. So like, I don't know if he told me about that, because I don't know. That's just a weird thing. Like the sleeping bag and all that kind of stuff. Cause that's what I used to do for these late night playoff games, even into like the late '90s when I was like 10 years old.
See, so therefore that's just a memory that was burned in because you knew that was a thing. So maybe you don't actually remember it. You just knew that that was a thing that you did.
Okay, I mean, yeah, because we've also established, like, we might not want to keep going. 3.5 weeks ago,
I may unlock something that's not good. Who knows? We're getting now deep into the subconscious mind. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't be responsive
out of left field.
I am a doctor. I don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes my powers are a little bit stronger on certain days.
And hey, right
now I'm not comfortable in the place where we're going because I feel like there are things that are being uncovered.
I'm the historian. Leave the history of my life to me.
I will tell you about the psychology on the and baseball how you remember diamond. That history. Okay. We will get to the reason why you remember that history. But yes.
Oh boy.
So yes, big day. Kemp's first one. He had a lot of fun. It was cool to see. It's pretty crazy. I did not think we were playing this year because I thought he was too young. But it turns out he's right at the deadline, like right there. So we're like, let's do it. We haven't been outside in a year. Let's go acclimate. And baseball is seemingly a good
way. Are they wearing masks?
Not out in the field. No, they're not. The kids are not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm just curious.
I was surprised, to be honest. And he had one on for a while.
You're fully vaccinated.
Yes.
Right.
But still wearing.
I got my first shot last Monday.
Cool. That's great.
With the vaccine. And I know you weren't feeling so great from the second one. So I'm definitely not looking forward to that.
The second one knocked me on my ass. There's no doubt. Today, it's actually today that I am the 2 weeks beyond. So today is like the official full vaccination period, I guess. So yeah.
All right. Well, kind of threw a wrench in our Saturday. You had fun coaching baseball, coaching in air quotes. I was picking out some tile, which is always fun. We took Harrison to the tile store.
Yeah. Did he help you make the decision? Did he piss on some tile to help your decision making?
Slept the entire time. It was the best outing we've had with him so far.
That's when you just stay out. That's when you're like, oh, we could keep walking around Home Depot. This is fun.
But we knew that it was fleeting because that 2 o'clock when he needed to eat again, that moment was coming up on the clock. So we got home just in the nick of time before he started wailing for food.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the alternative there is you want to make sure you're in a safe place when that time comes.
Not in a tile store where there's a lot of stuff that can be broken and a lot of expensive things on these shelves. All right, guys, we've done a bunch of episodes this week, so I do hope you guys have been enjoying them. We did the 6-man rotation, we did Chad Jennings yesterday. We released the Jay Bruce stuff and some other topics, and then this breaking news: we've got the Orioles preview coming up. That's probably going to be released on Monday. And then we'll get Tampa, Toronto, and our bold predictions episode before opening day.
We got one more. So, we got actually one more that I forgot to mention too, is I'm going on Nick's Film School podcast, which is Nick's podcast. Nice. It's on Blue Wire. Really good
Blue
dudes.
Wire Network.
Very, very good. Very good Knicks analytics. Very good Knicks breakdown. Good fans. These guys are really good.
You're about to get exposed on your NBA knowledge.
Well, I've already given them. Are you kidding me? I'm an expectations guy. I set those expectations. I was like, I could talk about some of the older Knicks, and I know enough.
Yeah, 90s Knicks.
I follow storylines now, so I do know what's happening, and I know I can.
Were you a Nets fan growing up?
I was a Nets fan back in the day for sure. But I never really followed the NBA beyond, after they left Jersey and went to Brooklyn. I didn't really stay. Really, it goes back to when Bronx Pinstripes happened and took over my bandwidth. It became Yankees and Jets. I don't know why I chose the Jets, but I did. Dumb. But yeah, that'll be out. So we may put it on
the coin, and it was the wrong side.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll release that one too. They're good dudes. We're gonna have some fun. But I know a lot of Yankees fans are Knicks fans too. So we'll give you a little introduction to those fine guys. But yeah, we're gonna do some crossover episodes this season. Do a lot of different things this season. So gonna mix it up.
Yeah, and that's a good heads up on that because there's so many awesome podcasts on Blue Wire across all sports, not just the major sports, but soccer is also huge on the network. There's MMA shows and wrestling shows. We've got comedy shows and pop culture and all that kind of stuff. So I know you and I have both been on Big Screen Sports, Kyle's show.
Yeah, Kyle's awesome.
Talk some stuff, talk Pride of the Yankees is what I was on for. You were on for Seinfeld baseball moments, right. So... A lot of good crossover stuff coming this season. Appreciate you guys listening. We will talk to you soon.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.